Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, it is good to be here with you. Pastor Kyle, thank you so much for that just lovely introduction. You're an amazing friend and man of God. And it was weird not hugging you, but I'm hugging you in my heart. So, church, I just want to say thank you. And Pastor Kyle said it a few years ago, 2015, God asked our family to pivot from where we were at Cedar Valley Church in Bloomington, serving youth ministry was our heartbeat. And he said, I want you to go to the campus. I want you to bring the hope of Jesus to the campus. So we pivoted from youth ministry to college campus ministry. And it was a scary pivot because we had become missionaries, as Pastor Kyle said. So we talked to families and friends and churches, and they said, hey, we want to support what you're doing. And essentially, River of Life, you were one of the very first churches in the state of Minnesota that said, hey, we believe in reaching the next generation with the hope of Jesus Christ. We want to send you out. And so on behalf of our family, I just want to say thank you so much for being on our team. And I want to show you a picture of our Chi Alpha. I'll start with my family. This is my family. My wife, Elizabeth, that's a good place to start, right? Yeah. My wife, Elizabeth, is there, and we look really hot and sweaty because we had just gotten done with our 30 for Freedom run. This is our most recent family picture. And that's my son, Henry, right there. He's looking at a bird. My daughter, Belle, is 8, and she did a 10K on a bike, and she did paintings for Freedom. We'll talk about that in a minute. Clara Jean is in my arms. She's 5 years old, and she is making bracelets for Freedom. And together, this is our family. And when God asked us to pivot from youth ministry in a church to campus ministry on a college campus, we didn't have Henry yet, and Clara was just born. And I remember talking with Pastor Kyle. I said, hey, we're going to be doing this thing. And he said, hey, we believe in reaching the next generation. We want to be a part of that. And so now we have 3 of us, 3 kiddos and 5 of us that are serving students in St. Paul at St. Thomas and St. Kate's. And we are praying for the other universities in our city that there could be a move of the Holy Spirit. There could be the hope of Christ that would come, and it would just impact lives. And so that's what we're all about. Now, I want to show you a picture of our Chi Alpha. This is at a restaurant in Alexandria, not far from here. And the single most significant event we do of the year is called Fall Retreat. And so all fall, we blitz the campus, and we're meeting people, and we're inviting them to come to Chi Alpha services, outreaches, games. And we're pointing people to Jesus, and we're trying to get people to come to this retreat called Fall Retreat. We do this at Lake Geneva, typically. And it's where people who are they're on the outside, they're kind of checking it out. If you come to this retreat, you are now part of the family. And people, it is so powerful to watch as God takes these freshmen or sophomores or sometimes even juniors and seniors who are kind of like, hey, what's this Jesus thing about? And they come and they experience God at a weekend that changes everything. And one of my favorite parts of Fall Retreat is on Saturday night, we do a baptism service. And typically, because we're hardy, bold North Minnesotans, we like to do that in Lake Geneva. And this time, it was actually dangerous for us to do that. So we had to pivot from what we normally do to doing a baptism indoors. And we called Pastor Kyle and Pastor Corey. We said, hey, is there any way we could borrow your baptismal tank? They said, absolutely. So we came and picked it up, and we brought it into the dining hall at Lake Geneva Christian Center. And I stood there yesterday with my family. We were on a little mini vacation. And I took a video of the spot, and I sent it to these 2 girls. Brooke, and that's Jordan, and that's Brooke. And I said, I was literally standing right on the side yesterday, and I just said, hey, do you guys remember this spot? This is where you professed your faith in front of 120-some people, and you wanted to get baptized, and we baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing ever. And it was so cool to connect with them. But these are 2 students, and out of 120 students in the last 4 years in St. Paul that have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, just thank you for being a part of that. You are a real part, and like Pastor Kyle said, an extension into St. Paul to the students like Jordan and Brooke. And so thank you guys for being a part. There's another thing we do called 30 for Freedom, and I'm going to show you a video in a moment. I lost my voice this week singing Disney songs on our family vacation, so pardon me. just gotta be real here. Just gotta let it go. We're just going into the unknown.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a dad joke, sorry. So 5 years ago, God put a dream in my heart. We just started out as Chi Alpha Campus missionaries, and God put a dream in my heart that on my 30th birthday, May 28th, 2016, He said, run 30 miles on your 30th birthday, invite 30 people to run with you, and raise $30,000 to rescue people out of sex trafficking, because every 30 seconds someone becomes a victim. And I was just like, wait a second. A marathon is 26.30 miles. Okay, that's a lot of miles. Who's gonna run that? Who's gonna run with me? Who's gonna run 30 miles? So I would call friends, hey, do you wanna run 30 miles? No, okay. And no one wanted to. And then I shared the heartbeat behind it. I said, because we're gonna rescue girls, little kids, out of the nightmare of sex trafficking. And the phone would go quiet. And they said, I'll have to call you back. And then a couple of days later, they'd call back and they say, I hate running, but I hate sex trafficking more. I'm in. I'll never forget this. This is crazy. On my 30th birthday, at the starting line, there are 48 of us who ran 30 miles. I looked down the other side and there were 75. And we're talking like young kids in strollers to grandparents that said, we'll run a 5K, 3.1 miles, to rescue people out of trafficking. And I'll never forget, that was the greatest birthday ever. I'll never forget it. As we ran, as we suffered, at the very end, it like downpoured. And I was like, oh God, would you just set these victims free? Would you set these victims free? The average age of a sex trafficked victim, 13. That's the seventh grade equivalent. The average age of a young boy who's trafficked is between 9 and 12 years old. And we just couldn't stand by as those statistics are the reality. We had to change something. We had to pivot. And so as we looked and as we added up the dollars that came in that day, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, and then we added it up when it was all said and done, it was $81,346. And we were like, okay, God, we see you in this. It was the craziest birthday. And I remember thinking, man, that was unbelievable, God. You are so good. In the midst of becoming a missionary, in something that was completely separate from our mission, you've asked us to pivot, to focus on this thing. And then the weirdest thing happened. People were like, hey, I can't wait for next year. And I was like, I don't turn 30 next year, friends. What are you saying here? And the next year, 400 people showed up. And we raised over $170,000 the next year. And so they became this thing. And the cool thing is because I'm a full-time campus missionary, supported by the generosity of friends, families, and churches like RLC, everything we do with 30 for Freedom goes 100%. Every donation goes 100% to the organizations and the nonprofits that fight trafficking on the front lines. And in the last, this is an announcement. I was talking to someone this morning. I haven't announced this yet. I think this might even be live on social media. In the last 5 years, the 30 for Freedom movement has raised over $800,000 to set people free from sex trafficking. And you're a part of that. You guys are a part of that. And you guys know 2020 has been the weirdest, strangest year ever, right? Like, I wanted to, like, shake hands, and, like, some churches it's like, hey, elbow bump, like, hey, nice to meet you, hey, nice to meet you too, what are we doing, right? And it's been this weird year, and so we looked at what we normally do, 30 for Freedom, in May, and we said, we can't gather, but the Boston Marathon canceled. I mean, they haven't canceled in 124 years since it started. This is the first year they had to cancel it. I'm like, well, we can't cancel this event because there are people being trafficked. You know, like, this quarantine shelter in placing was inconvenient for a lot of people. It was a nightmare for some. And we said, we have to keep doing this. We have to figure out what to do. So we said, we're going to make it a virtual run, which means you can run a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, or 30 miles on your own. You can raise awareness on your social media platforms. You can raise funds. And we looked at each other across the boardroom. Actually, it was across a Zoom call. And we said, are people going to engage with this fight this year during a pandemic? We said, well, we're going to do what we do, and we're going to see what God does. And I was blessed to see what happened here. I think it was at the fairgrounds. And to see just a bunch of people coming together saying, we're gonna run for freedom. To see an engagement. Yeah. I think I saw Sarah, and they got engaged at 30 for Freedom. Praise the Lord. They're getting married. Look at that. And our friends in Wilmer, with 2 weeks' notice, they just said, hey, we're going to have 28 people. Why don't we just hold our own event? That grew in 2 weeks to over 100 people. And they ran. I just want to show you a quick video from that chapter that happened in Wilmer just on July 4th, 30 for Freedom. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this day of independence, on our Independence Day as a nation. God, that we are choosing today to suffer. We're choosing today to sacrifice for those who are not free. And I pray for every person a part of 30 for Freedom, God, across 16 states, across 4 nations on 3 continents, God, that as we run today, every step,
would proclaim freedom for the prisoner. Every single mile would matter for the sake of those young boys and those young girls who are being trafficked.
There's a modern day slavery today, and that is human trafficking.
I am running today to help end human trafficking.
Because it breaks my heart that there are still human beings being caught up in slavery.
On the day that we celebrate our freedom, I'm going to sacrifice for others.
While we're celebrating our freedom, like, we should be fighting for others' freedom.
Shake some chains free of people who are truly not experiencing freedom.
I'm running today because it helps people to not be trafficked, so people don't have to be trafficked anymore.
This for a good cause. We used to go use our scooters with our kids when they were younger, and so we brought them out of the dust, and we're doing this
it all for freedom.
Every 30 seconds someone becomes a victim, and today we want to give them freedom.
I'm 12 weeks pregnant and I'm running to help end sex trafficking. Our family has been severely impacted by it, and we want to make a change.
As we run and as we put ourselves through suffering, my coach says this. He said, when we do something like 30 for Freedom, there is an end to our suffering. He said, victims of trafficking don't have a finish line. We're choosing to suffer so that they can be free.
We pivoted to a virtual model, and the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life happened on July 4th this year. As we stood there at the finish line, a woman who came approached one of our board members, she looked lost, she was trying to figure things out, and long story short, it was a trafficking victim that happened to stumble upon our finish line as we ran for freedom. It was unbelievable. I was like, what? Like I saw my board member, she was walking around just like, I was like, is everything okay? She's like, no, it's not okay. This is what happened. And she got her connected with a nurse, and it was just this wild thing. But it was in this year where we're pivoting, right? We pivoted from an in-person, large-scale event to these smaller chapters that kind of broke out all over the place, that we could pivot to this chapter in Wilmer, and this woman who needed help could find a group of people running for people to be free. And I think about the pivot we made as a family. Right? My kids go to a Spanish immersion school. They pivoted to online learning. Sweet Lord help us. Yeah, you know, learning Spanish over the computer, you know, like it's crazy. I think church ministry, like we've had to pivot our Chi Alpha to all online. Church going online, right? All these different things going on Zoom. All my students are Zoomed out. They're like, man, I've had class on there. I've had church on there. I've had Chi Alpha on there. And I think this is the year, if I could declare it, this is the year of the pivot. We've all had to change so many different things. I have several friends who've had to pivot their salary because they've had to take pay cuts of 10, 15, 20%. People whose businesses have had to pivot to go to a different model, or they've had to close the doors permanently. It's been the year where we've had to pivot. And I think I come to this year, and here we are in July, middle of July, right, of the strangest year, at least in my 34 years of existence. And I think, God, how can we pivot as followers of Jesus in a way that brings glory to you? How can we pivot in a way that would help other people find the hope of Christ in a time when our world is starving for hope? How can we as the church, how can we as followers of Jesus make that pivot? And I look, and there's a text that jumped out to me. If you have your Bibles, we're going to have it on the screen. It's going to be from Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 40. I want to just set the stage for you for a moment. We have Jesus who is walking the earth. He's in the full-blown aspects of his ministry. And if you can imagine this, imagine if there was someone who was in, let's just say, Alexandria, Minnesota, with the power to heal cancer, with the power to heal every sickness, every disease. If you had something broken that you could leave restored, if you were having demonic oppression, you could be set free. Imagine if that person was in Alexandria. Wouldn't we all just like get in our cars and go there right now? I would bring my parents who are battling cancer, I would bring them to Jesus at Lake Geneva, right? Wherever he went, people knew that this way maker, this miracle worker, he was there. That, hey, I've got a sick friend, I've got a sick parent, I've got a sick kid. If I can just get them before this miracle worker, their whole life can pivot from brokenness to wholeness. If I can just get this family member who's dying before Jesus, they can pivot from the death's doorstep to something greater. And I think about this text is so fascinating to me because there's a synagogue leader, this religious leader, this powerful authority figure named Jairus, and his daughter of 12 is dying. And he has watched her suffer. He has watched her progress and get worse. And she is on her very last moments. And he hears that the miracle worker is coming to town. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming to his town. And if you can imagine the horde of humanity that would be around a miracle worker like that at all times of the day, Jairus fights his way through the crowd and he falls at Jesus' feet in front of everyone. He doesn't care what people think about him. He's thinking about his girl. He's thinking about his daughter. As a dad with daughters, if something was happening like that, I would do anything that they could find healing. And he falls at Jesus' feet in front of this crowd of people and he cries out, "Would you come and heal my daughter? She's dying." He's pivoted his life from this focus and this focus and this focus, and he's pivoted over to Jesus saying, hey, he's pivoted on purpose. Jesus, would you come and would you restore my daughter who's dying? And Jesus says he'll go with him. Now, if you think about it from a critical perspective, Jesus could have spoken the word. He could have said, go, your daughter's healed. But he didn't do that. And as they're going toward Jairus' house, this massive crowd of people, I can just think about how hot it would be. I think of like the state fair, right? Think of the state fair crowd surrounding a miracle worker, okay? This crazy amounts of people, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And the dad heart in me is like, don't stop, you gotta go heal this girl, she's dying. And here's Jesus, and he stops, and he says, hey, who touched me? And if I'm Jairus, I'm thinking, we gotta go. And Jesus' disciples are like, well, there's a whole lot of people around. It's like a state fair, Jesus. Like, of course, there's people touching you. And Jesus says, no, I have felt power go out from me. And you see this woman crouching down. She knows she can no longer hide. And she confesses her whole story. For 12 years, I've suffered. For 12 years, I've been bleeding. There's no way, there's no one that can heal me. I've spent all my money. I've got nothing left. I've got no one left. No one can heal me. And I heard you were in town. And she falls at Jesus' feet and she confesses before this once boisterous crowd. I can imagine it's become like a pin drop you can hear as this woman confesses. I was broken, I was sick, and I just touched the edge of your cloak and I'm healed. And if I'm the dad, if I'm Jairus and thinking about my daughter, I'm thinking, okay, awesome, praise God, praise Jesus, she's healed. There's another girl who needs you, right? And this woman had pivoted from medical and all these different things. She pivoted on purpose with a purpose to Jesus. And she cries out, if I can just touch the edge of his cloak, if I can just touch the edge of his jacket, maybe I could be healed. And Jesus says powerful words. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. And the worst scene you could imagine happens next. As Jairus is there, this woman's on the ground, Jesus is there, this massive crowd of people, and through the crowd, Jairus spots his people. And if you've ever been in a situation like this, you can tell by the look on their faces. He could tell it was over for his daughter. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? She's gone. And I think about those words that no parent should ever have to hear, that this 12-year-old little girl who is sick was so close to her miracle, was so close to the miracle worker coming through the threshold of her home to heal her. And now she's gone. And what it would have been like to be Jairus. And the words of Jesus in the midst of all of this, he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. And she will be healed. And the skeptic part of my brain says, but she can't be healed, Lord. She's gone. She's no longer here. Her soul is no longer here. But isn't it interesting in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the tragedy, that Jesus says, have faith. And Jesus walks into this house, wailing, mourning. They're crying out to God on behalf of this girl whose life was lost too soon. And Jesus walks in, not really like pastorally in this moment, like, it's okay. He says, hey, stop crying. She's not dead. She's only asleep. They've already verified that she's gone. They've already verified that she's dead. And Jesus walks in to the most desperate, dire situation, and he literally raises the dead to life. He pivots from death to life. And as I was just thinking, and even as I was driving this morning, thinking and praying for you guys, man, I just thought, like, there are likely people who are watching online, there are likely people that are here in person, and there's something happening in your family. There's someone maybe who's sick. There's someone who's going through just a horrendous struggle, adversity like you've never seen before. And maybe what you need to do as a family member is to pivot on purpose to Jesus, to bring it all to him, to bring that person to him. I don't know what that looks like for you, but Jairus pivoted his life on purpose to Jesus. There might be people today, like if my parents were here, they've been going through some crazy health struggles. And the idea that maybe it's something that you're dealing with personally, maybe it's a marriage thing, maybe it's a physical healing that you need. This lady with the issue of blood, she pivoted her whole life with a purpose to the only one that could actually help her, to Jesus. And maybe that's you this morning. And the third group I was thinking of and praying for this morning are those that you might be facing. You might be living your life, but you feel like the walking dead. You go to work, you do your thing, or you're looking for a job now that COVID has hit, all these things are happening, and you're just struggling so much to find hope. Can I be transparent with you this morning? I debated on sharing this. This coronavirus season has been the busiest ministry season for us with everything that we're doing. We've had more ministry than ever before, which is awesome on one hand. We've had less time to do it, working at home, trying to find an office space in our home with three little beautiful kids running around singing Disney songs, right? This has been, for me personally, a very challenging season. There came to a point in the season where I said, I need to pivot and I need to find some help because I'm struggling. This is really hard. So I called up a counselor. It's been life-changing. And I don't know if that's a pivot that someone else needs to make, but I'll just say this, as someone who is doing lots of things and trying to do things for God, I needed to pivot and I needed some help. Would you, God, help me through this counselor? And it's been changing my life. And maybe someone needs to hear that today. But we come to a point in this year where we've all had to pivot, some in really significant ways and some in ways that are just inconvenient. But as we see from this text, from Luke, and it's interesting too, this comes from a medical professional, Dr. Luke, physician. This woman with the issue of blood pivoted with a purpose to Christ. This Jairus, whose daughter was dying, pivoted on purpose to Jesus. And Jesus pivots this little girl from death to life. And I just got this sense this morning that there could be someone in person here, or there could be somebody who's watching online, that you need to pivot from death to life. I know this has been hard. This has been a really hard season. This has been a crazy year. And in the midst of all the craziness, I've seen God do some amazing things. Like for 30 for Freedom's sake, this might be the first year that we raise over $200,000 in a single year, our greatest ever year in the midst of a pandemic. It makes no sense, but God. Our Chi Alpha, we always take the summer and we take a break from services and our normal small groups. And our students were like, could we just keep going? Can we keep having services? Can we keep having? And I got to watch this last Wednesday as our student president for Chi Alpha preached one of the finest messages I've ever heard. And just seeing students engage in ministry and say, hey, I've got this hope. I want to share it with you. And to see God do that in the midst of this crazy time. Do we need help? Yes. Do I need help? I'll be the first in line. Yes, we need help. And my heart for you guys this morning, my heart for us as a church family this morning, or for those who are guests this morning, or if you're watching online this morning, is that wherever we are today and whatever we need today, whatever we're facing today, that we would pivot ourselves on purpose, with a purpose, toward God's purposes. And his purpose for us isn't death. His purpose for us is life. And so what I would love to do, I would love to just invite our worship team, if you guys would come on up. And I would love to take a time to pray. If you're new here to this amazing church, to River of Life, we're going to have a time, a song of response. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for a couple of groups of people. But before I pray, I just want to invite everyone, would you just stand wherever you are, if you're able? In a year of craziness, in a year of a pandemic, in a year of changes, in a year of all of these things that are happening, it's a year of the pivot. And my prayer for you is that you would pivot on purpose. You would pivot with a purpose. You would pivot to God's purpose, and that's life. You would pivot to his purpose, and that's hope. And that as you do that, you would bring people along with you. That as you discover again, or maybe for the first time, this hope that doesn't leave you, that doesn't fail you, that will never give up on you, that your neighbors would be like, what is happening in their house? If you're a teacher, your students would say, what is going on there? That's amazing. If you're a business owner, your employees would say, whoa, there's something happening with the boss, and I like it. If you're a student, your friends would look at your life and say, whoa, this is the worst year ever, and look at your life shine like a bright light. So wherever you are, if you would just bow your heads with me for a moment. If you're here this morning and you are struggling, your family is struggling, your marriage might be struggling, your business, your work, your finances are struggling, it's okay to admit that, and then we can pivot ourselves from wherever we are on purpose with a purpose and say, God, I need your help. As Jairus came and fell before Jesus, as this woman with the issue of blood came and fell before Jesus, they didn't just fall before a teacher. They didn't just fall before a carpenter's son. They fell before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the healer, the provider. And we can pivot on purpose with a purpose towards God's purpose this morning. And I want to pray for those who are struggling, who are going through it this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your love covers over a multitude of our sins. We thank you that you're greater than cancer. You're greater than sickness. You're greater than hell. You're greater than the grave. You are greater than it all, and you conquered it all on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that when we place our hope in you, it's not this empty act of religion. It's this amazing, vibrant relationship that can change everything. And so, God, I pray for those today whose families are broken like Jairus's, for those who are sick like the woman with the issue of blood, for those who are struggling in the midst of the weirdest, strangest year I can remember. God, I pray that they would pivot their life from wherever they are to Jesus. They would pivot their life on purpose to you, God. They would pivot their life to a life group where they can find other people who are serving you and loving you and doing life together with people that way, God. I pray for those that we would pivot our life from this craziness to the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And I pray for the person in here, God, who's been struggling so much. They didn't know how they could get out of bed on this day. Thank you that they're here. Thank you that they're watching online. Thank you that you care about them enough, Lord, that they would hear a message of hope. This hope is not found in anything or anyone but Jesus Christ. And so, God, we just pray that together today. If you're here this morning or if you're watching online, and you feel like you are the walking dead. You feel like you are walking and you're a zombie, like you're just struggling to find hope. You're struggling to find life. I want to pray for you this morning that you would encounter the living God, that you would encounter the hope that is Jesus Christ, that you would encounter the one who will never leave you, who will never quit on you, who will never give up on you. This overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love that is of God. This way maker, this miracle worker, this promise keeper, that is who he is. That you would encounter him this morning. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. And I believe that there are those this morning that need to pray this with me. Jesus, I need you. I am desperate for you. I'm bogged down by my sins. I'm bogged down by the stresses of life, by the craziness of this year. And God, I call upon you to be the savior of my soul. I call upon you to forgive my sins. Your word says that you will remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. And God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you will never quit on us. And I pray for those who are here this morning or for those watching online, for those who may watch this later. God, if they need to turn their heart to Jesus and pivot from death to life, oh God, I pray that they would pivot from death to life. They would find a life that would never, ever leave them wanting other things. So this morning, God, we just say, as we turn our hearts to you in response, in this time where we're going to pray and sing and worship you, I pray this wouldn't just be us going through the motions, but this would be us crying out to our Heavenly Father, Jesus, come have your way. We love you, Lord. We're grateful for you. We're thankful that in the midst of even a pandemic, you can do amazing and powerful things. And we, as the family of God, the body of Christ, the church, we just say, thank you, Jesus, that you help us pivot on purpose. You help us pivot with a purpose. And you help us pivot towards your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we just sing together for a few minutes before we're done?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Yeah. around for just a moment, kind of privacy and reflection before we're done. Maybe you're here today and you would just say, man, God is asking me today to pivot in His direction. Whatever that means for you, whatever that looks like for you, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a difficult thing, maybe you just know that you're not headed in the right direction today, and you feel God asking you to move in His direction. If that's you, will you just show me your hand? I just want to pray for you. God, you see the hands here today. You know the situations. You know where we're at. You know what we're facing. You know what's happening in our lives and in our families. And God, I just pray. I pray in such a supernatural way that things would, God, that we would experience you as we move in your direction. That we would see you draw near to us, God, as we draw near to you. That we would truly pivot towards your purpose, God, in that way. And so, God, we just pray for that. We need that, God, and we ask for you to help. We truly do. And God, I pray right now, even as we walk out these doors today, I pray that we would be more aware of you than we ever have been before. I pray that we would walk knowing that you, Holy Spirit, are right with us. I pray that we would tell people your story, and I pray that we would show people your love, God, in everything that we do all the time. God, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for what you're doing in our church and in each one of us, God. And it's in the powerful, life-changing name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer today, you're welcome to come do that. Otherwise, thank you so much for coming. You are dismissed.